Morning. We're glad to see so many of you out on a chilly Texas morning. We're thankful for the cool weather, aren't we? We'd like to have those of you that are visiting with us this morning, please stand so we can notice where you are seated and following the service have an opportunity to greet you personally. If you are with us, please stand at this time visiting. Down front here or to the right. Please note where these people are standing, congregation, and following the service, take a moment and greet them. We also have a little brochure that the ushers are coming forward. If you stood for a moment, please raise your hand as the ushers come forward. They'd like to pass that brochure to you. We'd also like to encourage you to fill out the response slip that you'll find inside your bulletin this morning and pass that in the offering plate. It'll give us a record of your attendance. By way of announcement, we'd like to encourage you to come back this evening for the evening worship at 6 o'clock. I'm not going to elaborate on what's going to take place. We have several elders that are going to participate in the service this morning. They're going to explain further on what our 6 o'clock worship is. But needless to say, I think it's going to be a very exciting and rewarding worship service. So please take the time to come back this evening for that. We'd also like to inform the new creation singers that Dwayne and Alice Rogers have moved the practice up to 4:30 this afternoon. New creation singers are to meet at 4:30 this afternoon so they can participate in that worship service this evening. We'd also like to encourage you to look over all the announcements that you'll find in your bulletin this morning following the service. There are a number of bulletin inserts, including the calendar for this upcoming month. I'd like to encourage those of you that are thinking about still participating in the Family Life Conference at the end of October. You have until the 16th to postmark your applications, registrations, and bring those through the church office. That's a Friday before that weekend. So please note that on your calendar, and if you're planning to attend, get those registrations in. We'd like for you to stand at this time and we'll begin in prayer together. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the rich opportunity that we have this morning to fellowship with you. We realize, Father, that there's nothing in and of ourselves that is deserving of your ear, deserving of your attention this morning. We realize that it is because of your Son and the tremendous price that he paid on the cross that we might have a relationship with you, that we might have fellowship and communion with you this morning. We pray, Father, that as we come, we might reflect upon the cross and what our precious Lord and Savior did on our behalf, going willingly to that cross, taking upon himself our sin, bearing that sin, bearing the shame and the suffering that came with that sin, being separated from you, Father, for a time, that we might be brought into a relationship with you. And we are thankful and we are appreciative of that this morning, Father. We pray that we might enter into worship in that spirit, in appreciation and gratitude. Pray as an extension of that appreciation and gratitude, Father, that we would adore you, that we would lift your name in praise and hymns and songs of our heart. We pray, Father, that you would be with those that are not with us this morning, that are in hospitals, that are ill, that are sick. Pray that you'd minister comfort and encouragement to their heart. Father, we think of those that are endeavoring to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout this nation as well as across many different continents and countries this morning. We pray that you would be able to speak boldly, whether it be a pastor shepherding a flock, be it a missionary who is simply sharing the good news of Jesus Christ one-on-one with an individual, be it, Father, an individual that's translating a language into the Word of God in his native tongue. We pray, Father, that you'd bring encouragement, that you'd bring comfort, that you'd bring an attitude, Father, that would sustain them in the midst of despair, suffering, and tribulation, all the things, Father, that weigh us down. We ask, Father, that you'd be with Steve this morning as he comes to share the message that you've laid upon his heart. Pray that each one of us would even examine our hearts now so that the Word of God might fall on fertile soil and that our lives might be changed because of our time spent here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to worship and to praise you. We thank you especially as we enter into worship this morning for the abundant grace and the abundant blessing that you've bestowed upon this body. We're thankful, Father, for all the funds that have been gathered for this facility that we've purposed for 2 years now to purchase. And we're thankful, Father, that you, being the God of all creation, the Almighty, has raised those funds. And we rejoice this morning that those funds are in the storehouse and that they are available. We thank you, Father, and we stand in awe. We stand humbled. We stand to give you glory and praise and honor because of what you've accomplished on our behalf this morning. And Father, we'll be cautious as we do so to give your precious Son the praise and the glory and the honor in that spirit. For it's in his name that we pray these things this morning. Amen. Please remain standing.
We will all rejoice before the King of Kings. So Lord, we praise you and thank you. Lord, we come before you and we love you. We love you. We love you,
as you know, our God has done an amazing thing over the last 24 months, and the elders decided that they would like to take this Sunday and have it set aside as a special time of praise and thanksgiving, and we wanted the elders to have a more active part in our worship services this morning as well as tonight. So I'm going to ask that all the elders that are here this morning would come up and sort of form a semicircle here behind me. And we're going to have three of them sharing this morning. We also want you to get a good look at your elders and who they are who serve here at Wayside. But this is a time that we want to give the praise and honor and glory to our God who so richly deserves it. First of all, Larry Heppes is going to speak this morning for just a brief moment here and share an announcement with us. And then I'm going to ask that Dr. Ken McAllister and then Glenn Peters, who's the chairman of our board, would conclude. And then we have two of the men who are going to lead us in prayer. And as they do, we're going to all stand and join arms together and thank our God together. So, Larry.
Y'all remember this? It took 16 years to rebuild the temple. It seems like 16, maybe the last 4 or 5 weeks. I was 36 years old when this whole thing started. You know what this means now, don't you? Tonight's the night. We're going to find out if God has multiplied the fishes, or if there's more in there than we suspect and there's more still to be done, or if it's right on the nose. Tonight's the night, so if you want to join in on the fun, you've got to be there. Now, I must confess, some of us saw our faith wavering just a touch. I think at the end of August there was $470,000 to go or something. You know, it was just maybe 7, 8, 9 weeks ago, Pastor Steve came in with some huckleberry story about how he was walking his dog and a chain snapped and hit his nose. Remember, it was all swollen up. Truth of the matter is, he was trying to get a look inside the box and got his hand hurt. That's not altogether true. I want to apologize for that. Roof falls in on me, but the money's here. Praise God. But there's three other laws that we have to contend with. We really don't, but I'm going to mention them anyhow. You've all heard of Murphy's Law, which is if anything can go wrong, it will. Then there's Chisholm's Law, which says if everything appears to be in order, you have probably overlooked something. But the bottom line is God's law, and that's that all things are working together for good to them that love Him. And tonight, we'd like to share some of what on the first two appearances seemed to be Murphy's and Chisholm's law in action, and then how God's law took over.
Well, we really are rejoicing with you today, and praise God for this day and that it has come. I know in BSF the last few weeks we've been studying the Acts of the Apostles, and I today can very clearly identify with the lame man who was healed by Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. I feel like leaping and shouting and praising God. The elders are still working on a little praise shuffle, which is not quite ready to present to you today, but I can assure you that this week we have really been rejoicing over what God has done in this body. I was asked to share just a couple of words at what this has meant in my life. First of all, this has been a truly humbling experience. I know as we met this week among the elders, we all felt a sense of humility over what God has done, and more specifically, as Larry alluded to, how He has done it. There was no question in our mind, and I think in the mind of this body, that God led us to place a contract on this facility 18 months ago. But I think in the last several months, as Larry said, as you look in the bulletin, the figures seem to be stuck on a certain number. And there were honest doubts, not at all different from the doubts that Abraham raised when God promised him an heir. But Abraham didn't see how he and Sarah, at the age they were, could possibly have a child. But God brought that to be. And I think as we share those honest doubts, turn them over to the Lord, we've seen now in the 11th hour of how God's power and His sovereignty were displayed as this vast sum. Literally, the storehouses of heaven have been poured out on this body, and praise the Lord for that. So humility and a sense of humbleness was one of my responses to this. Secondly, it was more personal, was one of witness. About 18 months ago, my dad, as an unbeliever, visited this church, and it was announced that day that Wayside was going to step out in faith and submit a contract on this church. We left here, him telling me, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. Who would want to do that? I mean, why don't you go out and borrow the money? Everybody knows that's what you do, even if you're a church. But over the months, my dad died about 12 months ago, so it was about 6 months before that happened, that he was here. Those doubts in his mind were transformed into, if a church can trust a God, the God, for such a project, there really must be something to this God. And in 3 weeks before his death, while visiting with a pastor in his home, he committed his life to Christ to a great extent due to the witness of this church. And I praise God for that and for that example to him. So, brothers and sisters, this is something that we can teach our children. We can talk about as we walk by the wayside. We can talk about as we sit around the table, and it's something to tell our grandchildren about. And it's truly a witness to this community of God's power. And we're here today to praise him. Thank you.
I just marvel at the miracles that God has performed in these last couple of years. When we first went on the market to try and sell this facility, we were told by a couple of realtors there is no market for used churches, so just don't even try. Well, we had God brought four interested parties that, and we finally settled on one. So that was the one miracle. When we started this, we asked and challenged you all not to decrease your giving to our general fund and missions, and God has honored that, and you have sacrificially given. Since we started this, our general fund and missions giving has been the best and has had the best balance that it's ever had. We've seen miracles in each one of our own lives, in my life and many of yours. You put in that box a sum that you couldn't see where it was going to come from. And I know Jan and I experienced God's provision in a miraculous way that we couldn't foresee, and I know many of you have too. This was done, God provided this in the midst of probably some of the worst economic times this area has experienced in recent history. So we can praise him for his provision, and he's not dependent upon the unemployment rate. We had hoped and prayed that this would be a spiritual time of growth for all of us. And I think we can look back and remember what God has done, how he's provided and the principles of faith and giving, and they would be firmly implanted in our lives and we continue to do so. We look forward to many miracles to come because this is just the beginning. As Ken said, many have said that y'all are not going to borrow money, you're going to get cash. You can't do that. And I think, let's agree with them. We can't do that. I couldn't do it. We couldn't do it, and you couldn't do it. But God did it. Thank you.
Let's have everyone stand now and join hands, and we're going to have A.C. Johnson and Alf Miller, two of our elders, come and lead us in prayer at this time.
Oh, merciful Father, we give thanks to you this day for the miracles that you have done. And it's an assurance to us that we must have faith in God's promises. Scripture teaches us so plainly and so clearly that we pray specifically for those things that we desire, and that if we seek God in all his glory, those prayers will be answered. The body here at Wayside has seen these miracles take place over this last 2 years, and we just praise you and thank you, and we ask that we go forward in Christ-like spirits as we move forward into our new environment, a new territory, and the opportunity to reach out and serve others. And oh, how the Lord of our glory and God is going to bless the ministries of this church as we reach out to others. New fields of endeavor, new missions, new parties that will come forward and pledge their life to Christ. Seek to know him and his word. And we just praise you and thank you for the body here at Wayside, for the sacrificial giving that has taken place in order for God to work the miracle that he has worked in the life of this church. We thank you, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name.
Oh, Father, we love you. We want to praise you this morning for bringing in the funds that we need to make this move. And Father, we know that only you could do it. As I think of the situation Jeremiah was in when you told him to purchase some land, and he didn't know how or why you would even do that. And yet you said to him, "Behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?"
I just confess, Lord, that I thought it was too hard. And yet, we know that nothing's too hard for you. You are the God, the creator of the universe, the God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills and owns the hills that the cattle stand on. We praise you for your mercy that you've shown upon us. God, we pray that this morning that we would commit to you, that we would be good stewards of what you've given us, good stewards of the funds, Lord, good stewards of the property, good stewards of the budgets that we've just passed for this new year. God, we just want to be your men and women, your children, your young people, the people that serve you and that stand as a witness and a guiding light in this city, that the rest of the city might know that there's something different going on here, that because of this step in faith, Lord, as little as it is for us on our part, that you would just use that to bring glory to your name through an increased ministry throughout the city. Lord, we love you again, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You can be seated, and we're going to have the elders go back. I would like to remind you, in case you got a phone call this week, that the services would be at our new location tonight. Let me correct you. They will be here tonight. Lord willing, the contract will be signed here shortly. But we felt it best to meet here tonight for our time of celebration, and there will be finger foods following for a time of fellowship. Singles are going to lead us now in a few moments of praise choruses as we praise our God. Yes, if we could have the children now go to junior church.
Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt, and let us exalt His name together." Please join us in singing this back to the Lord.
To magnify the Lord and worship Him. We have come into this house to magnify.
called As You Really Are, and the ladies have a part. They're going to follow Shelly and Sherry.
And turn to the 150th Psalm. We're going to have a very brief time in God's Word this morning. Reminds me of something I heard this week about a senior pastor was going through the rather large facilities, passed by the men's room on a particular morning and heard some laughter in there. He went in, and as he got in there, he noticed some of the other pastors were there laughing like crazy. And then he looked a little more closely, and over by the blow dryer, where you blow your hands dry, was a little message. It said, "For a 30-second message from your senior pastor, punch the button." And we're going to have just a 30-second message here this morning. Psalm 150, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty firmament, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet, praise Him with the lute and harp, praise Him with the timbrel and dance, praise Him with the stringed instruments and flutes, praise Him with loud cymbals, praise Him with clashing cymbals, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we have taken these moments this morning to praise our God who is able to do all things, who is exceedingly wonderful. We praise you because of who you are. We praise you also because of what you have done on behalf of your people here and the prayers that have gone up over the last 2 years. You have honored them and we praise you. Father, we know there's so much more to be done, but we've trusted you in the big things. We can trust you in the little things. And we pray that you will supply in the next few weeks what is needed to refurbish and remodel the facilities, that they may indeed, along this very busy expressway in our town, may be a testimony there, just the beauty of them as well as what takes place within those facilities. So we honor you and praise you and exalt you this morning and ask for those whose hearts may be heavy because of other encumbrances, that, Lord, you would just simply take our eyes off of ourselves and our problems and focus them upon you and all of your greatness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we've already mentioned, we have seen God do an amazing thing in our congregation for which we are grateful. And you folks have been an answer to prayer. God always chooses to use His people to perform that which is impossible, and He has used each one of us. And it's amazing to me how our Lord has orchestrated this, that He has used the big givers and the little givers and all of us together in order to be able to come up with what is needed. The 150th Psalm is a psalm of praise. It's the climax to the book of Psalms, and that is not by accident, but by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it really sets the tone for what we are feeling in our hearts today. It begins with a little five-lettered word, praise. Now in the Hebrew, it is really the same word from which we get our English word, hallelujah. It seems to be, or it means rather, to be boastful about something, or to be excited about something with a tremendous amount of joy. In fact, the word is related to an Arabic word that was the shout of triumph at the end of a battle. When perhaps a wounded soldier was still alive, his army had won, and the booty was about to be taken and divided. There was a shout of triumph, and it was hallelujah. Hallel, the Hebrew word, is really the equivalent of whatever you say when you are watching a football game and your favorite team scores the winning points just as time expires on the clock. Do you know what feeling that is? Have you ever been there? The excitement and the joy, you literally lose yourself in what has just happened. And maybe a few moments later or a few days later, you look back and you say, didn't I really act like a fool that night? But it's that excitement, that exuberance, that joy that just simply overflows at something that has happened. And the psalmist tells us to praise the Lord in this way. One of the interesting and somewhat surprising observations from the Hebrew language in recent studies is that the Hebrews had no words equivalent to our English words, thank you. Nowhere will you find it in Old Testament Hebrew. In many of our English translations, we find the word thanks, or let us give thanks to God, throughout the Psalms. But in the original, in place of thanks was this word, hallel, or praise. And the way of saying thanks to God in that day was by speaking about God to others about what God had done. For example, the 96th Psalm says, let us declare His salvation to all of the earth. And as we speak of Him and as we praise Him before others, then we are giving thanks to God for what He has done. Have you ever, as a parent, had the joy of having your children maybe say something to someone else that was really a compliment to you, but they never really said it to you? And by complimenting you before others, they're giving thanks. And that's the idea that is behind this word. We used to sing a chorus when I was in church in back up in Ohio. I don't think I've ever heard it down here, but it was hallelujah, 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 praise ye the Lord. And you remember then how you would jump up on praise ye the Lord, and then you would sit down and you would have it kind of mixed up, and there was a lot of excitement. And that's kind of the idea that's here in this 150th Psalm. When we conclude our service today, we're going to join hands one more time and we're going to sing, Lord, we praise you, hallelujah, to show our excitement about what our God has done. It is a thanksgiving praise psalm, and it answers several questions regarding this whole idea of praise. Number one, who we are to praise. We are to praise God. In verse 1, praise Yahweh, the self-existent God, here in verse 1. The one who is the great I am that I am, as he revealed himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Let's praise him just simply because he is the self-existent, unchanging, immortal, eternal God whose shadow of turning never varies, according to James chapter 1 and verse 17. Sometimes when something like this happens, we can praise a man or men. And that's the last thing that the leadership of this church, the pastors and the elders, would want, because we realize that God has done it. Henry Ward Beecher was a famous pastor years ago in New York, and one day while he was gone, a man was substituting for him, and the congregation was not aware that Henry Ward Beecher was not going to be preaching on that particular day. And after all the preliminaries were finished, and this man stood and walked to the pulpit and was about to preach, all at once he noticed that a large number of people began to get up and leave because they had come to hear Henry Ward Beecher. And the visiting pastor, with a lot of wisdom, said, "All who have come here today to worship Henry Ward Beecher may now withdraw from the church. And all who have come to worship God, keep your seats." And everyone sat out, kept their seats. We are not to be praising men, we are to be praising God for what He has done. All right, question number 2 is answered in verse 2, and that is where we are to praise God. In His sanctuary, that is probably in that day in His temple, where all of the believers assembled together in that day, as we are assembled here this morning. We are to praise Him in the sanctuary. We are also to praise Him in His mighty firmament, or literally here, to praise Him in the heavens. The idea behind this is perhaps all of the angelic hosts and their various orders are praising God. And as the angels are praising God, so we too, as we assemble together, we offer our feeble praise back to the Creator who created us. Another question is answered in verse 2, and that is why we are to praise God. And the psalmist singles out 2 things here. Number 1, we're to praise Him for His mighty acts. Number 2, we're to praise Him according to His excellent greatness. We're to praise Him for what He has done. We're also to praise Him simply because of who He is. And all through the Old Testament, you find the people of God, after God had wrought them a marvelous victory, they would put stones up or some other memorial, and they would offer praise to God because of what He has done, but also because of who He is, as Job learned. We're to give thanks to God simply because of who He is. How we are to praise Him is found in verses 3 through 5. With every kind of instrument that was known to man in that day. There's nothing wrong with the use of trumpets. Nothing wrong with the use of drums. There's nothing wrong with the use of the synthesizer. I didn't know they were going to have that this morning, but that was beautiful, wasn't it? I have a feeling if David was living today, he would probably excel on the synthesizer. Every instrument that's known to man can be used and incorporated in the worship of His Creator. Everything. And even, lo and behold, dancing. Dancing here can also be a means by which we praise God in verse 4. Not all forms of dancing, but there are some forms of dancing that really can render praise to God. I don't know if any of you, I'm sure most of you have seen Fiddler on the Roof by now, or you've perhaps been to a Jewish wedding or something else, and you will notice that there's something different about the music that the Jewish people employ. It's fast, it's loud, it's got a lot of rhythm, and it's exciting to listen to Jewish singers and dancers as they praise God through this very exciting and thrilling expression of joy and thanksgiving. Finally, the who of praise comes in verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Pull out all the stops. Everything, not just everyone, but everything that has breath, let it praise the Lord. Now I want you to go back to chapter 148 in closing and see here what David has written previous to this in verse 7 of Psalm 148. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths of the earth. Even the very sea creatures praise the Lord in their beauty and multitudinous colors. Fire and hail, snow and cloud, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. Now most of you were probably up this morning for the sunrise. Did you take time to notice it? It's a beautiful sunrise. Absolutely gorgeous. I hope you took the time to look. But the Bible tells us that our God's glory is above the sunrise. It's above the sun. It's above the moon. It's above the stars. As you go out and you look up at the stars and you see the grandeur and the beauty that God has created in the heavens at night. But the glory of our God is above that. So even the things that God has created are to render praise to Him. David Needham, in his book, writes, imagine with me for a moment that we are able to travel to the nearest star, and then look back towards home. Even if we could look through the most powerful telescope in existence, you and I would never see our planet Earth. We wouldn't have the faintest idea that it was even there. Did you hear that? Earth is so small among God's creation that if we were able to travel to the nearest star with the most powerful telescope known to man and look back to the Earth, we wouldn't even be able to see the planet Earth because of how insignificant and small it is. No wonder the psalmist says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you would visit him?" Our God is much bigger than that. And our God is worthy of praise. And that's what we're doing in these moments. I'm going to ask that our house lights be turned out low, that the men prepare to serve us communion at this time. We're going to have the singers come back and lead us in singing here in a moment. But I would like for us to take these moments and really praise our God, not only because of what He has done in creation, but secondly because of what He has done in redemption. He has provided a way whereby we might have the forgiveness of sin, that we might have a new relationship with Him, a relationship that was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. And it was restored in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As He came, was crucified on our behalf, became sin for us, and then He was raised again triumphantly from the dead. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it is a time of celebration. It's a time of memorial, remembering what our God has done for us. At Calvary's cross, it's also a time of celebration as we celebrate the victory that our God attained and achieved over all of the evil forces led by Satan himself. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, we would encourage you to do that. This part of the service is for believers only. Doesn't matter whether you're a member of this church. You may be first time here. If you're a believer, we encourage you to participate in the bread, which is a symbol of our Lord's body, and in the cup, which is a symbol of His blood that was shed for us. If you've never trusted Christ, would you do that in these moments? And let all of us praise Him during these moments. Father, thank You for these moments. May we render an adequate expression of praise and thanksgiving in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name.